Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hillman.
Welcome to air. I'm Jennifer Hillman, and I've got an extraordinary gifted guest tonight. She's a wonderful healer, actually from Australia. I want to welcome to the show Sandy.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, thank you. You hold many degrees in certifications, in hypnosis. Do you want to tell us some of the other ones that you are holding right now?
Oh, well, I started off learning a lot of work through the spiritualist movement in the UK where I come from, so I did mediumship development and clairvoyance there, but we didn't have certificates in those days. It was a question of learning all through the development circle. I'm working through the churches with healing and other things. But since I've been in Australia, which is about 19 years now, I've trained in Reiki, so Reiki Master, Seishun Master, crystal healing, past life regression work, climate hypnosis, intuitive anatomy, and the theta healing, the Orion DNA, it's also known as, so I'm an advanced teacher in that as well. So just a few.
just a few that just keep growing. I have to tell this audience, I actually have been working with Sandy, and she's making such a difference in my life. I want to thank her publicly how much. I cannot thank her enough for all the work that she's done with me. It's been amazing. So why don't we talk about some of the techniques?
Sure.
That you've been, I mean, you've been rewriting my DNA.
Yes, I have,
basically.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about that process and that technique?
Yes, of course. That's the theta healing technique that I was talking about, and that's teaching us to actually co-create changes in ourselves and in other people that we work with. So it's a technique where we actually connect to the source, the creator of all that is. So in a sense, we bypass the middle management, which is our guides and the angel kingdom and our normal helpers. Because it's really teaching us that we are in, we are empowered beings and we have the birthright to work directly with Source. And we can come back to that later because a lot of people work with their angels and guides and it's not that we're ignoring them. We very much do still incorporate them in the work, but it's teaching us as individuals to be in our empowered state to work with our God self. And that enables us to raise our vibration up to such a high frequency that we're able to go into other people's bodies and scan their bodies and work in their DNA and work in their cellular level. And that helps us to heal diseases, which really are caused a lot of the time by the way we think. So if we look at how people think and what their belief patterns are that they've brought into this world with them, picked up from their genetics, parents, ancestors, and also what they've been conditioned to believe as children, then you can usually track the root cause of a lot of people's issues in life, be it they be physical, mental or emotional type issues or relationship issues. And a lot of it comes right down to our fundamental belief systems and how we've been conditioned to think in a very fearful and negative way. But by going into the DNA and right down into the cellular level, we can see the root cause and where the beginnings of those beliefs have come from. And as we pull them out and change them to more empowering beliefs, so a lot of the sicknesses and issues in people's lives just simply disappear.
Yes. So what kind of conditions are really, I mean, you mentioned some diseases and some illnesses on many different levels. What other kinds of conditions are really helped by this situation, by this healing?
Anything. If people have got relationship issues, if they're fearful of passing exams, if they've got money issues, they can't get jobs, people just wandering around feeling pretty lost and out of it, out of their power, anything, anything. It can all be traced back, from my experiences, to belief patterns that we hold about ourselves, whether we feel we felt, you know, whether we're not worthy, we're not deserving, to real extremes that we're here to sacrifice ourselves for other people, and so we let everybody walk all over us. And, you know, cultural backgrounds, religious backgrounds have an even greater effect on those belief patterns. So it's looking at a whole person's being, the way they are in life, the way they relate to life, how they relate to their parents, their siblings, the things that they've experienced in life, and looking at all of that as a great picture and a holistic view, and then working through what it is that they want to change most in their life at that time, or the fears that they have, and working to look down at the root cause of where all that's coming from, and simply remove it.
Okay, now, what do you see? Is it a feeling? Is it a seeing when you're going through this process? I'm just curious. I mean, you've been dead on with my issues. And I'm just wondering, I mean, am I telling you exactly what the problem is in some way? Is it, like, written down somewhere? Do you see it visually? Do you feel it? Do you hear it?
All of those. Most of it, it depends on how a person is. I'm more of a feeling person than a seeing person. Other people more seeing than feeling. So when I, if you like, when I connect with you, it's like I break down all the molecules in my body and I can join in with yours because I see us as absolute energy. And so I work on increasing my energy to a high frequency so I can do things like that. And
right.
So I merge with your energy field and then I come into your body and usually the first thing that I go by is the feeling. Then I either see pictures of where it's come from, like a childhood scene or a past life scene, as to the root cause, the age that you are, what you're doing, who you're with. And then sometimes you might actually hear stuff, but that for me is quite rare. It's the feeling straight away, and working through the feelings I get, not always direct pictures. If the person's been involved and it's an instant, I see that picture of the child or whatever at that time. Other times it's symbolic, and it's like I have to read the energy that's around that cell or that piece of DNA, and I use my clairvoyant abilities to work through that.
Right.
So it's a bit of each, really.
You also deal with, you know, inner child healing as well. Do you use the same technique when you're doing an inner child healing, or do you use a different technique for that? I'm just looking over some of the different things that you do.
That's a different technique that creators and my spirit guides have taught me to use to combine with theta healing. So I use a specific technique to take people back into their childhood, not to relive any trauma, but that I actually get to speak to the child. And so the child in you speaks back to me, whether it's 3 weeks old, 6 months old, or 10 years old. And I get to dialogue with that child directly to find out what's hurting them, what's bothering them, if they're happy or unhappy, and what it is that you, as the adult, Jennifer Hillman, as the adult, can do to help that little child in her heal, because you have many aspects of you that are many children, in a sense.
Right.
So I use that technique that I was taught directly, and then if there's belief patterns that little child's holding, then I can use the theta technique to change those belief patterns. So I use a combination there.
Okay.
And it's very, very successful.
All right. Now, it's also on your website, and why don't you give your website right quick before we go any further, just to make sure people understand how they can get in touch with you.
It's www.soulawaken, so it's soulawaken.com.
And there is a lot of information to go over on there, and you explain everything really well on there. So on the website, you also talk about the soul's journey, and that you're able to help people understand what their soul's journey is.
Yes. So I tap into, that's something else that Spirit Source has taught me how to do, is to actually converse with the soul. So I can go into the soul and really determine what it is that you've come in this life to do, the main choice of and the reason for you being here in this incarnation, and to see what lessons you've brought through from those past incarnations, whether you've lived them or whether you've just picked them up from a group consciousness somewhere, but you believe that they belong to you. And really looking at what it is that needs to be repaired and needs to be let go of, what lessons you're learning, and how maybe who in this lifetime is part of that past experience is playing out a different role. So the group soul, group energy comes into it in a lot of ways as well. So we work through that so that you get a better understanding of who you are and why you're here and what your main reason for being here is. And it's also to teach people about the self, that the self and the soul to me are basically the same. And it's teaching people really that aspect of them is the most important thing that there is. So because we've come here to learn, that's the part of us that we should really be honouring and in a sense put ourselves first and always ask ourselves how we feel about things and if things are right for us. And I mean, that's a whole subject in its own right, of course, but it's really teaching people to be empowered.
Right, and that is the biggest... Go on, I'm sorry.
No, I understand what you're going to say. We probably could talk about that just for an hour, just on its own, but it's, in a short version, it's really teaching people. I mean, my job as a healer, and why I've come on the earth at this lifetime, is to awaken as many souls as I can across the planet. So it's really teaching people who they fundamentally are and where they've come from, which is spirit. I mean, we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes.
And we put too much emphasis on the human factor, and a lot of the human conditioning that goes with it, of course, is fear. And if we step outside that fear, and obviously with the healing and the tools that we give people to work with, people can step out of that fear and step into their divine self there and fulfill their soul's destiny, fulfill their journey. And when you step into your divine self, of course, you're operating at a much higher awareness, as in your God self. And that's what my job is. It's to empower people to put us back in the driving seat. Because we just live in fear far too much. And it rules the world, and it's got to change.
And as you bring that up, do you think it is slowly changing, or do you think fear is because of the media and the way governments and situations are, you know, Mother Earth is definitely very upset with us humans and the way we're treating Mother Earth. Do you think things are shifting for the better?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I do. And it's not that the fear factor is getting worse. It's just as if you imagine that, I mean, the world is a result of our collective consciousness, how we perceive things to be inside ourselves, so we create our own reality immediately around us. But if you take that on a global scale, I mean, the result of the world is a direct result of how we think and feel inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so for every single one of us that heals, we're breaking that. We're diminishing the hold that that global fear, human conscious fear, has over us. And every time you heal or I help someone step in their power, we literally heal millions across the planet. We're breaking that. Literally, so many people are stepping up and using, having healing as part of their lifestyle. They're realizing they don't want to be in the rat race. They don't want to be conditioned like some mouse in a turnstile that just goes round and round and round, and then they just die. Because if you look at it from that extreme, that's basically, and you took a top-down view of the world, you would see us as just millions of little beings scurrying around, trying to make sense of it all.
Right.
And every time the light bulb goes on within us and we step out of that fear and take back control of our own lives, in a loving way, in a spiritual way, then we exercise all of that incredible power that God gave us that's within us all, and we can make such big changes. And that's what Jesus and the Bible means when you literally can move mountains. We can. And as we create more light on the planet, it just throws more light on that which is not so light. It's not that it's getting worse. It's just that we're more aware of it. And that's done on purpose. So we don't fear it. We move away from it. So in a sense, that's our own lesson.
Right.
We see more of it to teach us not to be fearful of it anymore, to step out of it. And I think it's just getting better and better.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned something about if, say, since I'm getting a healing, through me being healed, other people associated with me are also being healed? Or
yes.
Is there like the pebble in the pond effect with...
You've got the pond effect, but within you, it's... So you're part of a family and you're part of a relationship
right.
with someone. So let's just say husband-wife relationship and things aren't going so well and one of those people has just lived their life for the other person the whole time and really doesn't know who they are, you know, after 20-odd years of marriage. That
right.
person decides to step up and find out who they are. So they go through a process of healing and transformation and come out the other end realizing that they are worthy, they are valid, they are valuable, they can be their own person. This is a short version again, of course. And in that instant, that person, if you do it through the spiritual healing in the sense of acknowledging who we really are in terms of our spirituality, we then raise our consciousness to a much higher vibration where we can bring a lot more light in ourselves and we bring a lot more light on the planet. Now, in that whole dynamics of that relationship has changed. Instantly, that person decides to seek the truth. It changes
right.
the dynamic. That fear maybe doesn't have a hold on them anymore. Well, every person that does that, we're breaking that across the planet as well. So as we raise our vibration, it's in a sense, it's like we create a lot more space for others that are still living in abject fear and total darkness to see the light and step into that light.
Yes.
So we shift the consciousness, the waves of consciousness each time. And as we shift up and we empower ourselves, so it's like we bring those others with us, we create space for them to step into. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yes. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience to go through this healing process with you.
And I think for everybody that takes the courage to step out of their fear, they should really congratulate themselves because if you've lived in fear and negative thinking and, you know, for 30, 40, 50 years, people say, well, do that. You know, I'm going to step into the unknown. And my job is to teach them that stepping into their divine self really is not the unknown. Living the way we are on the human planet is the unknown to me. The other is the known because we're just basically coming back home to ourselves, what we really, really know. But when you've been really conditioned for a very long time to say you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't be this, you won't achieve, you won't amount to anything, and doing everything to try and validate yourself for everyone else, it takes courage to want to step out of it. Especially if you don't have people around you that support you, that continually want to put you down and don't let you, or don't want you to do that, or try and stop you.
Right.
Everybody's different, of course, but for some, I mean, it literally is a huge amount of courage for them to even take that first step. But it's just fabulous when they do it. It's so wonderful.
Yes. Because
their life changes.
Yes, it does. Most definitely. Mine definitely has. In many positive ways. And so, I mean, is there any major blocks that you see occurring more often? Is it the low self-esteem is something that is a reoccurring theme that you're healing?
It's like most of it can all come back to some key points, which is self-love, self-worth, and feeling that we're deserving and not feeling abandoned. I mean, most of us want to be loved and accepted for who we are. And really, you can trace so much of it back to just those key things. You know, that going back there might be a lot of different tangents and a minefield of lots of different experiences, but when you get right down to the bottom of them all, depending on, you know, how many pathways you've got to come down from a person's experiences, were usually sitting around the self-love and the self-worth, or being accepted by God, you know, being loved and accepted for who we are.
Well, Sandy, we have a call.
Yes,
oh,
sure.
Right.
Hello, caller.
This is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
And,
thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I try to call up because of the fact that people need to know, rather than just the abstract theory, there are hordes of books on abstract theories that you can actually connect with them remotely and see what you can pick up, and you can tell them some words of advice as to what's going on, and that way we can all cooperate with each other, we can change the world around, and we can start to create a world that is far better than what it is.
Most definitely.
Absolutely, I'm with you there.
Most definitely.
And a lot of this work can be done remotely. We don't have to actually be with the person.
Yes, seeing how you're in Australia.
Whenever you think of a person, you're with the person.
Definitely, because we're all one, right?
Absolutely, because we're energy.
You go back to the void before creation, we're all one. But on the other hand, from the void, you can understand any manifestation whatsoever.
Most definitely. Thank you, Michael. Did you have a question?
I have a question, and that is, what am I supposed to be doing right now? Because I'm very confused. And I'm confused because of the fact I can do all sorts of things powerfully, and I don't quite get the message, and you can't use power in a destructive manner. It's definitely wrong.
I didn't quite get the question. You're confused as to what you've got to do right now?
How I can relate to people.
How you can relate to people?
Uh-huh. So I've been stabbed in the back like a zillion times.
I wasn't hearing that too loud. Did you say you've been stabbed in the back too many times?
Yes. More or less, yes. I said it's not you, but it's too many times. It's just as good.
But do you have an issue with trusting people? You find it hard to trust people right now?
Well, I didn't initially, but I'm starting to.
You do now?
Because I've had that happen a lot, and it took me a long time to find it out because I had autism and Asperger's syndrome, and I really wasn't very good at connecting with people when I was a kid. And it's important to be able to. That's when you learn your social skills.
Yes, and what I've been shown is that people with autism, sometimes it's because they want to see the world from a different vantage point without really being involved with it. So it's like if I sit back here and look at the world, then it's going to give me time to work out where I fit in, if I want to fit in. And it's not opening up straight away to all of the energies in the world. And this is what I'm being given right now around you and others
that's
type of issue.
That's a good thing to do. That's where I've been.
Yeah. And so there's a reason why you're going through that process.
Okay.
And if I was working with you, I'd be asking you when the first time that occurred. And
I wouldn't remember. I empathize with what you're saying about reading because of the fact that it sounds like Netherton healing and various other techniques I'm familiar with. But actually, I'm rather... All I know is the void in ordinary life and energy healing, which is dealing with the negative forces. And the rest of the stuff I don't know how to deal with.
Well, what I might suggest is if we have a separate session, I could have a look at why you came in on the earth with those kind of conditions, what it is that you were wanting to learn, and why you've sort of held yourself back from stepping into the world. So that might be specifically something you chose to do. it might have a bearing on things you picked up whilst in your mother's womb, or some genetic stuff or past life stuff. But it's,
well, I suspect,
see, we create whatever it is that we
initiation in past life.
I'm sorry?
I suspect I was bound by initiations of past life.
It's possible, but a lot of it comes back to our childhood. We do get hung up a lot on past lives, a little bit too much, because it is in the past, but sometimes there's relevance there.
Well,
not always. A lot of time it is childhood.
There's always displayed in the present life.
But I feel with you it's a bit of an apprehension of stepping into life and still wanting to maybe observe and not really, in a sense, be fully committed within yourself. But as I say, we'd have to explore that if you wanted to in a separate session, and we could do that. And I could give you the guidance that you're looking for.
Teddy, why don't you give him your email? That way he can contact you and other people will know how to contact you.
I'm sorry?
Why don't you give your email so Michael can contact you?
Oh, sorry, yeah. The line was a little bit strange then. It's Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y, at soulawaken.com.
At soulawaken.com. What was the one before that?
Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y.
Okay, Sandy, like the ocean sand, at soulawaken.com. Okay,
Sandy,
well,
yeah.
That's the whole thing about it, is you have to not only talk about what you're doing, you have to do it with people on the air. And you can do it on people on the air. You don't have to be in their presence. It's just that you can talk about more in their presence because you don't have to worry about invading their privacy.
Well, the other thing with any healing, though, is the minute they've contacted the healer, they're given permission for the healer to enter their energy field. Plus, with Sandy, she's very, I mean, before she does anything, she goes, I would like to do this. Is this okay? So she definitely makes sure it's exactly what you, the client, want to be done. And I appreciate the fact that she was not invasive at all. She was very respectful of my energy field, and my whole presence, my whole essence.
Oh, that's very good.
So,
okay, so
really,
that's very nice, and I think you guys are right on. I feel energies. I interpret energies. I don't get images, but on the other hand, I really appreciated the fact that you were on the air. And,
well, thank you. Bless you.
And you don't have to be in somebody's presence.
No, of course not.
Whenever you're talking to somebody, you're connected with each other, and you are in each other's presence. Even if you think about them, you're in each other's presence.
Most definitely.
That's very true.
And Michael, I want to thank you for listening and calling in. It's been
well, you have a good night. I hope you get some more callers, because saying you can do something and showing you can do something is different. And people appreciate it when you show it on the air.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Have a beautiful day. Of course, it's night time your side of the world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the middle of the afternoon for you. So, is it ever better to be in the presence of someone? Is there any conditions that you prefer to be face-to-face with them?
Yes, if a person's, having said that, it doesn't always happen because sometimes people are in such a state they can't get to you, but if someone's very suicidal or in a very bad way mentally, I would prefer them in my presence because I need to see how they're reacting and make sure they're okay before they leave to go home, and that we've, you know, even if you have to sit with them, you know, be with them for a few hours. I mean, some years ago I had a man that was absolutely desperate and was just about to, you know, he was in the process of wanting to commit suicide. So I let him come to my house. It was a Sunday, and I spent 5 hours with him. I would not let him leave until we'd worked through every single issue that he had. So within a few weeks, he was back to normal, back to work, and he had his children back living home with him, and he was fine.
Excellent.
But I wouldn't want you to have done that particular one over the phone for 5 hours. But if I had to, I would have done.
Right. And we have another
phone. But I just totally trust that... Sorry?
Hello. Hey, this is Brant from Minnesota.
Hi, Brant. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Loving the
you
show.
You got a question for Sandy?
Yeah, Sandy, I got a question for you. This is just...
Hi, how are you?
I'm real well. Out of curiosity, you said that I use crystals and things like that to you know, help heal. I'm curious to know if different people have different reactions to different kinds. Well, you know, if someone might respond stronger to, like, say, an emerald or something like that, or
mm-hmm.
if there's a certain type of stone or crystal or whatever that kind of resonates with everyone, that you know, everybody, like, one thing that anybody listening could you know, keep around them or whatever, that would continually at least you know, keep them positive, you know, or I don't know. I'm curious.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
The clear quartz, rose quartz, green aventurine, and amethyst are pretty much stones that, I mean, most people can use any stone. It just really depends on where they're at. But if you wanted some that definitely were only going to be very gentle on you, you'd be using things like those stones I've just mentioned. If you had deeper issues, we would be combining them with other stones to really dig into those issues.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to be kept in a space of sort of lightness and just gentle support, then you can't go wrong with a clear quartz,
mm-hmm.
amethyst, rose quartz. Green aventurine would be a good stone, citrine.
How about as far as, like, symbols? Like, I always get, like, a bit of a rush or whatever when I have my shamrock necklace on. Is there anything that deals with the shamrock, or is that just kind of something in my own head kind of thing?
It's not in your own head. It's actually in your energy field. And again, depending on different experiences you've had and what you've been in, your, say, your past life.
Yeah.
Let's say you were a wonderful healer or a seer or someone like that, a philosopher in your past life, and you worked with the stones or worked with the earth, then stones like that in this lifetime would really, really resonate with you, because it's pulling on those energies that fundamentally are part of you, that carry a lot of wisdom and a lot of strength.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be drawn a lot to stones like that, if that's the kind of sort of past that you've had. It really depends on where we've come from and the experiences we've had. In my own personal experience and what I've been taught by spirit, I mean, I'm always drawn to absolute crystal clear quartz and Lemurian quartz, because I find that that really holds my vibration up to quite a high frequency. So I have them around me all the time.
All right. Well, thank you, Brant.
I don't do as many crystal healings these days like I used to, because I use these other techniques. But if somebody phones me and says, I specifically want a crystal healing, then obviously that's what I do. And I give crystals out, and I still teach people how to work with them, because they are an incredible... to me, they're living. They're not inorganic.
Yeah.
And they tell us so much. They hold so much information. They can really help us heal. And you can have phenomenal success with healing cut wounds and broken bones and all sorts of things. But just laying crystals on your body, it's just wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you for answering my question.
Oh,
thank you very much for calling.
Yeah.
You mentioned you teach other people. You want to talk about your workshops, because you do have quite a few, and you even have some coming up, don't you?
Yeah, I teach the Theta Healing Technique, which is the DNA 1 and 2 practitioner certificate. So that's anybody that wants to do healing work either on themselves or as part of their practice, or to incorporate if they're, say, a massage therapist or a naturopath, acupuncturist. And then there's the advanced course after that that I teach. And next year I'll be teaching the 3-week intuitive anatomy, which is all theta healing based work. I teach the Abundance Course, which is to theta teachers. And we're also doing a Rainbow Children's Workshop next year, so it's teaching children through the theta healing technique. But I also teach basic crystal healing for people still.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get guided to just do one-off workshops with different people. 2 weeks ago we had a crystal bowl therapy workshop with past life regression work. And we used a lot of sound and toning crystal bowl sounds to heal the cellular trauma that people are carrying. And other times I do a lot of drum work or shaman type work or sweat lodge type work. So there's the one-offs that I do as well as the mainstream, which is the theta work. But the one I've got coming up in February, which is really exciting, is 12 days of past life regression work in Egypt. So if anybody out there wants to join us, it'll be fantastic because we've got the Giza Pyramid all to ourselves in the King's Chamber, as well as the Isis Temple and the Karnak Temple. So we're going to be doing some past life regression workshop in those three places with some DNA activation work as well. So it's going to be wonderful, can't wait.
Oh, yes, it sounds absolutely. And is there information on your website on that trip?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Excellent. I had to consider that one.
Yeah, people all over the world can join us if they wish. They just make their way there and they join up with us. So it's going to be 12 days of just wonderful healing, past life regression, and absolutely phenomenal experiences of Egypt itself. It's an amazing place. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Now, is there something special about those pyramids that really, I've heard that it is just the ultimate place for healing yourself is to go to Egypt, to go to the pyramids. Is it just because of the shape and the history and the codes that are embedded in those forms that really is a wonderful place to go?
It is for me because I feel I've been shown, quite a few sort of past lives there, but there's other places in the world, like South America, that holds phenomenal energy too. It's not just Egypt. I just think there's a lot of media exposure on Egypt too. And it does look pretty romantic when you see those pyramids cast against the backdrop of the sky.
Right.
But they do. They have an amazing, energy in the sense that to me, what I was shown, actually only a few days ago, as you are, it's quite amazing that you've asked the question, that the actual pyramid itself was like a portal into other universes and dimensions, and that it's been there a very, very long time, and it was put there. It wasn't built by human form. The outside of it might, but what was inside its original shape wasn't. And it was what they were showing me, it was like an umbilical cord to the earth itself. So as the earth rebirths itself, it's like that pulls it in, the energy in from other dimensions to then shift the earth up into another higher frequency, because the earth itself is shifting too, the same as the human consciousness is.
Right.
And that the pyramid itself was the focal point. And it's like if you imagine the whole universe out there with all these multiple dimensions in there, all of us are creating all of the time. We only take form when we land on, say, a three-dimensional planet like this. The rest of the time we're formless. And it's like the Earth itself is evolving. It transforms itself, and it's like the pyramid was the portal into other dimensions to allow this energy to come through in the first place. And so that's its constant point of reference for this continual rebirthing or transformation of the planet itself. And that the Sphinx was there as a stabilizer, but it almost represented, too, every form that sits on the earth. You've got animal, you've got bird. And if you went into another dimension, another planet, you'd have another pyramid there, but you wouldn't necessarily have the Sphinx. You'd have whatever was representative of the kingdoms of life forms on that particular earth. It's hard to put it into words when they show you things like this because it takes a while for it to sort of assimilate, and then we've got to find the right words to sort of...
It's amazing. It's amazing all the information that one can download in a vision.
Well, yes, because to me the universe is all in it. They all interrelate and they all overlap. We're all inside one and they're inside us. We're just living in this multidimensional aspect that's just totally infinite. And it's like we can just travel through this universe and just create what we want as we go. And that's what we did with the Earth and other planets. There's planets being formed all the time are being created because we're consciousness. Same as we create ourselves and we create our own reality. Well, on the biggest scale, planets and stars are being forever created as well. But they all have to interrelate. And they showed me that the pyramid, that pyramidal structure, that shape, is that's the sort of thing that holds that interrelation in place, that ability to completely connect into and receive information from other dimensions. It's like that was the keyhole to it all. And that's why they're so important. And it was like we were on this great big chessboard across the universe.
Yes, and it's like I'm actually getting the vision of like the Incas and also the Mayans. Also, it's basically the pyramid shape with the temples as well.
Well, they were all zigzag pyramids, and I'm sure if they had a look under. I don't know if they'll do it with the Giza pyramids. It almost feels like there's a zigzag temple under there too. That
right.
Other forms over time have changed, and man may have just put the outer layer on. But
right.
The symbolism of the whole thing is our connection into all of these other dimensions. It's like your crown chakra is your connection into the other dimensions of your universe through your human body. Well, the Earth has to have something similar. And it's like the pyramidal shapes do that. That's the only way I can explain what you've shown me.
Yes. Yes.
It all makes sense when it comes through at the time, but then you've got to put it into words. That's where we get stuck sometimes, because the words don't really represent what we get shown.
And it's other times we're not supposed to explain it, so I appreciate that you did explain it. So, but obviously I needed to bring it up or else I wouldn't have asked the question. But that trip would be amazing, an amazing trip. So, and what is that's in the middle of, beginning of February again?
That's the 12th to the 25th of February.
Okay. Okay. So, doing past life regressions, does it sometimes activate things within the DNA in a negative way? Does it re-trigger some past programming that could have been corrected, but now because of the triggers, or does, when you correct the DNA, is it always pretty much, does it stick?
It sticks if you get to the root cause. It's like if you have an issue in life, say a sickness, and you dig down and you clear that. If you don't get to the root cause, then that sickness can come back again. And that's why we do the digging, like I did with you, and we do the questioning. We just keep digging down. And you know when you've got to the bottom, when the person reacts, they're either quite emotional about it or they just... there is some sort of reaction from them. Because you have to get down to the bottom, the core level. Then you can't always do that the first time around, because if there's lots of layers there, the person has to adjust and process what you've done. And as you take that layer off, so, you know, there's often another layer underneath. But that doesn't mean to say it's got to take years. It doesn't mean to say it's got to take years. It might just take a few sessions to get there. Sometimes you can get there straight away on one particular problem, but another issue might take a little bit longer. And when you start to dig down, it might have many tangents going off in different directions. Well, you've then got to go down those directions to find the common denominator. Then when you do that, then that condition does not come back again. It's cleared.
Now, generally, is there, like, one major situation that people need to deal with and there's just, like, offshoots from that core issue? Or can there be several core issues that need to be dealt with? Or is that a question that can be answered?
It can happen in both ways. It depends on the person's upbringing, their conditioning, their belief patterns, their experiences. It's not the same rule for everybody. Now, you could have two people with the same issue. One, you could get straight down to the root cause, and it was the result of one incident. But another person might have multiple repetitive patterns of those incidents happening, which is anchored in other belief patterns. So you've got to... Often when you dig in the root cause, those ones that sit over the top topple away anyway. But occasionally there's some that you've just got to go off and find those as well. But in the majority of cases, if you get to the root cause, then the ones sitting above it, you clear them up at the same time.
Right.
And that's what has such an incredible effect on people.
Oh, it's definitely had an incredible effect on me, most definitely. And it didn't take that many sessions.
No.
In between the sessions, I did have reactions, and it did bring up the issues that we were clearing to the surface so I could really be more conscious of them, of the situation. And so it was very good to be more conscious of what I was doing to myself.
Well, you need to have that. The clarity comes because you need to learn from it, and so you've asked to see it. Some things can be held, and they don't need to come to the surface. Other things do, because that's part of your learning. You've asked to see that. So it's not that you have to, you know, relive anything. It's just that for us to heal, we have to understand it. It's only when we don't understand something that we hold on to it. And it's like all these belief patterns that we might hold on the genetic level or the soul level and not even know that we're carrying them. We just know things aren't right. And so as we dig down, we can see that, you know, the heart's been absolutely broken or the soul's been totally crushed through experiences. And that's where we do the work at that level to heal that particular issue. And as those things rise to the surface, sometimes it's just recognition and then they're gone. There's no more work needed to be done. It's us wanting to know the cause.
Right.
And us needing to see something so that we can learn from them. And when you have that clarity and you understand something, look how liberated you become.
Definitely.
You don't live in darkness anymore. You understand it, and therefore it's not an issue anymore.
Well, I do also want to mention this, is I had a friend who has known me for some time, and she came over today. I haven't seen her in a few months, and she just said, I look totally different.
Oh,
my whole
cool.
energy, everything about me just felt so much better. So it really has made a tremendous difference for me, and I do thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad. Good.
So is there anything else that we haven't really covered that you would like to cover?
Unless you want to spend a little bit of time, you know, discussing the soul's journey, or if you wanted to do some healing work and do some downloads for people to receive. I think you've got all the questions.
I do want to mention to the audience that you will be on again. We already have you scheduled for, I think, January. So you will be doing, it's just, I would love to do some downloading. And so why don't we get started on doing a downloading? We don't have a lot of time, though.
Well, we can do that in January. We can set it up so that we've got more time to do that. That's not an issue.
Okay, great. Because I want to make sure we do have plenty of time. But this is a great introduction to all your great work. And I am looking so forward to doing the downloading on the next time then. So why don't we talk just briefly about the soul's journey? What would you like to talk about the soul's journey?
Well, each of us has a soul, And as I mentioned briefly before, the purpose of being here is for our souls to grow, for whatever lessons we need to go through. The soul has many aspects. It's not one-sided entity. It's not one single-dimensional thing. It's like the rest of us. It has many aspects. And in this particular life, we might choose to display just one aspect of our soul or just a few, and therefore we have associated lessons to learn for that aspect of our soul to grow. And that's why it's important for us to always go by what we feel is right for us and what it is that we want out of life. And it's really putting ourselves first in a very unselfish way. And when we do it through the wanting to serve ourselves and be the best that we can be, we really are then honoring that God self part of us. And so we automatically are not, we're not selfish in the way we do that. But we also have aspects of our soul that remain in the spirit world after or in other dimensions whilst we're on this planet. And that aspect of our soul is also learning. And we can be affected by the level of learning that aspect of us is going through. And we also get linked into our group soul. And I've worked with people where they've actually exchanged aspects of their soul with other members of their group soul to really experience different things. And it's taken quite a while to unravel that, so the person that I've worked with can actually feel more whole and complete. Mm-hmm. A single entity. And
well, okay.
Because of the many to how we feel and what we're here to do, and really always ask the question about how things feel to us and make sure that we're doing what's right for us, because that aspect really does need to grow.
Right.
That's a very short version.
Well, it's very concise, though, and in a pretty accurate way of putting it. So, and I do think there's many people who are, they're kind of confused about their soul and even really connecting to the soul to understand what their soul is really looking for and needing. I found that in my own work that, and even in myself, that I really need to reconnect with my soul to really hear what I was supposed to be doing. So, it always helps if you can actually hear what you're supposed to be doing. And it feels go on.
Oh, sorry, the line, I think we must have a little bit of a delay on the line, that's all. What I was going to say as a point that was coming up is that depending on what we've experienced in life, our soul might actually be broken in terms of the real trauma, especially, children of abuse.
Right.
Their soul may be completely split. They may have retreated so far inside themselves that the soul, it would never go out. But it's like the light gets very, very dimmed and just sits in almost abject darkness. And sometimes in really bad accidents, in cases of abuse, the soul splits off. Sometimes the whole soul jumps outside the body, and that person's never really ever come back into their body. So they go through life operating on just maybe 35% of what they should be operating on themselves, and never really feel part of anything. Things go wrong, they have accidents, they don't really fit in. It's because they're always out, they haven't fully become integrated back into their bodies because it's too fearful for them. And the soul can get fragmented as we grow and we give all of our energy away and we live in fear. And again, in abusive or domineering relationships and we're fearful of people, each time we have interaction with that person, little bits of our soul break off. So the jigsaw puzzle that started out as complete is starting to fragment. And that's where we do a lot of work at the soul levels to piece all of that back together again and to integrate the soul back into the body, back into one sense of completeness and wholeness. And so people that are very depressed and very psychotic, the soul, it exists, but it's almost non-existent in it. It's a question of working through all of that process and reasons why it happened to bring back that soul into completeness. So I don't believe there's nothing that we can't heal. It's a mixture of the inner child experience, the belief patterning, and what's occurred at the soul level. And when you work in those areas, you cover so many different, well, everything there is about a person you cover, plus their past lives, their genetic stuff, and also their soul group that's, you know, not necessarily on this planet at this time. And we're affected by all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite wonderful.
So, yes. It's very intricate, and it's, again, you do a very special job on this planet in helping us get back on the planet so we can all do what we're supposed to be doing and learn what we need to learn so we can improve the consciousness of the planet to a higher vibration and heal us back. So I do want to thank you very much, Sandy, and I am looking forward to January, and we'll probably spend most of the time doing the downloading because I think it's going to take a little time, and it's well worth it. I'm sure the audience will definitely be looking forward to that, and I believe it is January 31st that you will be on. So until, you know, I just want to thank you again very much for being on the program, for taking the time and figuring out the time difference, because we had quite a time figuring that one out.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, and I really appreciate being asked to come on. And what I would suggest for January is maybe if your listeners want to write in to you and the sorts of things they would like to have worked on, and then we could take a cross-section of those belief patterns and explain to them as we download them. You know, it's going to make changes to them.
Excellent. So if you do want to contact me on what you want to have Sandy work on, please write me at Jen, J-E-N, at jenniferhillman.com. And if you could just put Sandy in the subject, that way I know it's for Sandy for in January. And I look forward to getting those suggestions. That way we make sure we help those who are out there. And that's what this is all about. So, again, thank you very much, Sandy.
My pleasure.
Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you have a wonderful evening.
Oh, well, thank you. Next time I am having a very festive conversation with two Scots women, a mother and daughter, who are both in the theater arts. They're very intuitive, and we were talking about their spiritual experiences. And I would like to say happy holidays to you all. I can't believe the fall and winter are here already. So I am Jen Hillman. I want to say, with each breath of air, we hope that you gain new insights and inspiration. Many blessings to you. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good night.